As you'll have already gathered from Sue's link to Advent, and if you were here, my sermon last week, today is the third Sunday in Advent. And thank you, Alan, for lighting the wreath and starting with the pink candle. Because the pink candle is today's candle. It is today, Gaudete Sunday. I've most probably pronounced that wrong. If you want a correct pronunciation, I'm sure Joan will give it to us. But I want to start by thanking Miriam for... I preached about Advent, and Miriam's produced the wreath, and thank you, Judith, for also offering. It was very kind of you. And as I said last week, and as Sue has alluded to, it's good to have these reminders, these visual reminders of what we're about. So we have that. Now, why pink as a pink candle? It seems strange. We have supposed to have three purple candles. Now, for me, I don't know whether they're purple or what colour they are. Blue? Are they royal blue? What colour are they? They're purple. Excellent. So we have three purple candles. Now, does anybody recognise the significance of purple? Royal priesthood. So thank you. Yeah, thank you, Elsie. Saying it loud enough so I can hear. I know a number of people were saying these. When you do respond, I've got a microphone and you can hear me, but I'm not so good at hearing you. So there is going to be opportunity in this sermon just for you to speak out and tell me things. So please do speak out loudly. The purple represents royalty. And then why do we have pink in the middle of that? Because this is a royal season. It's about the coming of Jesus, who is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's royal, and therefore we have purple in that. Why pink? So, flesh? No, not flesh. Not the baby. The reason we have pink is the colour of celebration. And there is a period of Lent in which we have a period of Lent, and I know we're not in Lent, we're in Advent, where we reflect, and then they have periods of joy in the middle of this reflection. And the same is true of Advent. This Sunday is Rejoice Sunday. That's what Gaudete means. It means rejoice. And so in amongst all of the reflections that we do, we have a period of rejoicing. So today is a day of dancing and enjoyment and rejoicing. I thought over this period of Advent, whilst when I have opportunity to preach, I will preach on the different aspects of the season. And as we've already been reminded, the first Sunday is hope, the second Sunday is love, and I preached about love, and if you didn't hear, you'll hear more about Advent in that sermon, and more about love. And today is joy, and next week will be peace. Gaudete Sunday takes its name from the biblical text, Philippians 4 and verse 4. So we're going to read that first, then we're going to listen to a carol. Now, I'm not sure whether we're going to listen to the carol. I'm just relying on my team over there to be able to do it. The software on the computer isn't up to date enough to play it directly, so I'm hoping that it will all happen smoothly with the team. So we're going to read from Philippians 4, verse 4, and it's on page 1181 in the Bibles. We're then going to listen to this carol, for which the words will come up, and then we're going to read a little bit of the Christmas story from Luke 1, 39 to 56, which is in page 1026. It's rather complicated, isn't it? But if you just put your finger in... let's read from Philippians 4, and then you can search for Luke 1 afterwards. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Okay, now let's see if the team can manage this. You might recognize the song if you've been around as long as I have. You may well recognize the song, and then the words will come up.
Christus est natus, ex Maria Virgine, Gaudete, 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 Christus est natus, ex Maria Virgine, Gaudete. Caritate.
Tempus adens gratiae, o God of the bombus, come in ne latitiae.
And they are. Now, for starter for 10, who can, without shouting out, just hands up, who can name the singers? Oh, I heard it shouted out there. Go on then, Andy. Steel Ice Span. Yeah, if you don't know them, they've got a very distinctive voice. A band from the 60s. Clearly, I wasn't around in those days, but I heard it on repeat. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice, and again, I say rejoice. Luke chapter 1, verse 39, page 1026. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. So some of you haven't got there. I'll just... It's Luke 1, 39... to 56, and it's page 1026. Whilst you're finding that, I just want to say thank you to David, Jan, and Debs for giving it a go, to getting that and getting it up and working. Thank you. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he has said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Father God, we ask that you would speak now to each of our hearts. Lord, as we talk about joy, there will be some here this morning who feel no joy. They feel sadness. They feel the clouds of darkness over them. And Lord, we pray that you would speak into their hearts in a particular and special way. But Lord, each one of us could know more about you and about the joy that you bring. And so, Lord, we pray that you would speak to each and every one of us through the power of your Spirit, that we wouldn't be just hearers of your word, but we would be doers also. In Jesus' name, amen. When you're speaking about joy, it's obvious during Advent. Not only is it the third Sunday in Advent is about joy, but if you look at the whole story of Christmas, it's all about joy. The angels are joyful, the shepherds are joyful, Mary's joyful, Elizabeth is joyful, even the baby in Elizabeth's unborn baby is joyful and leaps with joy. It is a season of joy. And when we think about Christmas, we often as children get joyful about Christmas. Perhaps that's joyful. Excited may be the word for that. And there's a sense of joy. However, for some, joy is not always easy. And this is a difficult topic to look at. And it's perhaps worth looking at in more detail at some point later. As I prepared, I was thinking about this. And there was such a depth to this whole topic of joy. And I did a lot of reading about it and searching out this topic. And this morning, I'm only going to touch the surface of this subject. I'm going to keep it short and simple. I'm going to start with an introduction to joy. And then I'm going to look at three characteristics of God that give us reason for joy. And each of them begin with the letter M and come from Mary's Magnificat that we've just read. So you know what's coming next. What are the three M's on which I'm going to speak about? The three characteristics of God that Mary highlights in her Magnificat, her prayer of praise. Merciful, that's one of them. Yep. Mighty is another one. Mindful is another one. Thank you. Well done. So this morning, if you're taking notes, the three headings are mindful, verse 48, mighty, verse 49, and merciful, verse 50, and that will follow an introduction to joy. What Paul says is, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. If we think joy is hard, just imagine being a persecuted church. Paul isn't writing to some people that are having a happy Christmas, where the season's bright and the lights are on and everything is good. He's writing to a church that faced great persecution. He's writing to a church, to people who live in fear of for their lives. Things are not hunky-dory for them. And it's important that we read Scripture in its context and understand the context of Scripture. This is a difficult message. Saying rejoice in the Lord always, and we put it to music and we sing it and we say, rejoice in the Lord always, and I say rejoice. And we sing it in a round as if it's going to be something very easy. But let me tell you this, brothers and sisters, joy is not easy always. Life throws at you things that go wrong. On Friday, we were preparing for today's open house. Please, if you're around, to come between 3 and 8 to the house. And we were preparing, and of course there's a few little jobs to be done and things. So one of my jobs that I decided, Debs had set me the job of finishing off the boarding in the loft so that we could get the boxes that are arriving back in the house up into the loft. But I thought, okay, before I do the boarding of the loft, I just want to get the strip of wood between the carpet and the flooring in the study on, because I just don't want people walking over that. And so I thought, this will be a 5 minute job. Well, 5 hours later, and Debs returns and says, what have you done? And I say, look, rejoice with me. I've done the strip of this. I have to say, I don't know, perhaps Debs needs to listen to this sermon, but she didn't seem full of joy. She didn't rejoice with me that this strip was done. It seemed to be a concern to her that all the boxes were still down and the loft had not been, I hadn't even made it up into the loft. And you see, sometimes life throws at you things that just happen and you think, and that was the start of my day. Oh, you don't want to hear about the rest of it. I tell you what, yesterday continued in much the same vein. I was trying to fix things, and rather than fix things, I seemed to be breaking more than I was fixing. And Deb said, why don't you just go out and get your hair cut? It would be simpler for us all. If we look at circumstances and we think that we can get joy from circumstances, I'm sorry, it just doesn't always happen. Sometimes circumstances give us great joy, but sometimes they don't. But where does our joy come from? Go on then, say it. The Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Our joy comes from the Lord. If we rely on circumstances and all that's going on, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, we will not rejoice a lot of the time because rubbish happens. And we're struggling, and we look at the circumstances around us and we sink under them. And yesterday I was just like, oh, the day before rather than yesterday, just trying to overcome the circumstances. But where we find joy is finding it in the Lord. Joy is encouraged and repeated twice here. To people that are struggling, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord and find your joy in the Lord. Joy is a fundamental Christian characteristic. It's part of our faith. Joy is something that we should have. And it's not just something manufactured. Joy comes from a relationship with Jesus. In actual fact, I say that, but joy is a fundamental part of a relationship with God, because if you look to the Old Testament, joy is a fundamental part of the Jewish religion, the Jewish relationship, the Jewish faith. In actual fact, when it comes to Greek and then to English, we have diminishing numbers of words for joy. We have joy, rejoice, you know, all of those things. If you go back to the Hebrew, there are in excess of 23 words for joy. They must have been pretty joyful if they had to come up with 23 different words for what we've come up with, one. So joy is a fundamental part of knowing God. And when we know Jesus Christ, who is the representation of God, the full revelation of God, it should do something to us in terms of joy. Now, most of us would want to be joyful always. We would like to be the happy-go-lucky sort. But when tough things happen, so often joy goes out of the window. And it's hard to exhort somebody to rejoice when life is tough, when work is going badly, when money is short, and when we're suffering the pain of bereavement. And it's harder still when someone else exhorts us to rejoice in those situations. And we perhaps take that view that we will fake it until we make it. We will put on this false face of joy and, yes, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And we will portray it when inside that's not how we feel. And I can't profess to being a great example of enduring joy, but I want to draw out a couple of things from this verse by way of introduction. The source of joy is the Lord. To have joy, our relationship with Jesus must be central. In actual fact, as I was reading about joy, one of the things that touched me most was that a life lived in obedience to God is where we get joy. And I was thinking about it, and I've got a lot more thinking to do about this. But I'm just sharing with you where my thinking was going, and it's not fully developed. But I was thinking, when I finish that strip of wood, that sort of 18 inches of wood put down, 5 hours later, I did rejoice. And I thought, yes, I've done it. I've achieved what I wanted to achieve. Not what Deb's wanted me to achieve, but that was a different story altogether. But I achieved what I wanted to achieve. And I started to think about this. I started to reflect on this. Is when we achieve something, we get joy. Now, why is that? When we achieve things, we get joy. And I think it's a picture of when we do what we're made for, we receive joy. And you're doing something and you've achieved something, you get joy. And I think when we do what we're made for. When we are obedient to God, that's what we were made for, obedience to God, to love God, to be obedient to Him. When we achieve that, when we achieve obedience, we get great joy out of obedience. And why don't I have as much joy in my life? Because I'm not that obedient. I live in disobedience to God. You may think, oh, we've got a bad pastor here. You most probably have. But let me tell you, it's because we're all living with the ravages of sin. And sin has corrupted us that we don't want to. I want to do it, but I can't do it. I don't do the things I want to do. There's no good thing in me. Remind you of someone? Yeah, Paul used to say that. He wanted to do all that God wanted him to do. He wanted to live in full obedience to God. And yet he struggled to do so. And it's as we live in full obedience to God that we start to exercise some of that joy. And that starts to happen. And I recognize in my own life, is sometimes when I'm least joyful, it's when I'm least obedient. Those are just some simple reflections. I don't know if they are fully developed and worked through, and maybe I've got some things wrong there. But I think there's something in it. And I share it with you for your reflection. Anyhow, I'm totally nowhere near my notes of this, but anyhow. At Christmas, we often read, "The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord.'" Here we see Jesus as the source of joy. The second thing to note is joy is not just a feeling. For here, Paul exhorts us to rejoice. If it was just a feeling, how would we be exhorted to rejoice? It's an action, not a feeling. One writer puts it, "Joy is more than a mood or an emotion. Joy is an understanding of existence that encompasses both elation and depression, that can accept with submission events that bring delight or dismay, because joy allows one to see beyond any particular event to the sovereign Lord who stands above all events and ultimately has control over them. Joy is founded on faith in the character of God." If we understand something of the character of God, we will understand something of joy. And as we develop in the character of God, as we become Christ-like, more and more obedient, I suspect we will become more and more joyful. So, that's the introduction, and that's taken up most of the sermon time. But we're going to now look just briefly at these three characteristics that Mary highlights. God is mindful. As we read Mary's songs, it's important to remind, it's good to read scripture day by day, and it's good to go systematically through the Bible, because what it does is it reminds you of other bits of scripture. So when I talk about God being mindful, what do you immediately think of? That's often what we think of. Zero. But let me tell you, there is a passage, and you don't need to necessarily remember it, but there is a psalm. "What is man, O God, that you are mindful of him?" It's good to remember other scriptures, even if they're vague memories, vague recallings. "O Lord, O God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I consider the heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place," this vast thing that you've done, you've created all of this. "What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him?" God has been mindful of Mary. Oh, how wonderful that God, who created everything, knows about an individual called Mary. And he's mindful of her. What an amazing part of the story. We read over that and we don't even think that God thought Mary. It blows my mind. God, I can't even understand. I can't even grasp the concept. God, who is in the job of holding the world together, enabling it to run, has this thought. Ah, you know, Mary, she'd make a wonderful mother. She's a woman who I want to bless with this. And he had this thought. Just that God thinks of me. You know what? I think God thinks of me. More to the point, I know he thinks of you. God is mindful. Oh, how wonderful that God knows you and knows about your situation. He knows everything about you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. And Mary says, people are going to call me blessed because God is mindful of me. God's blessing is not seen in what we have, but rather in terms of being in relationship with God. You know, you may think, oh, I haven't got much money, I haven't got many good looks or whatever, or I don't have a good job, or whatever it is that you think. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, you are truly blessed because you're in relationship with God. There is nothing better in this world. We are blessed not because of material possessions, but because we are children of the living God. It isn't about circumstances, it's about relationship with God. How precious is that? God is mindful of us. He loves us, he cares for us, he's told us he will never leave us or forsake us. What better reason is there to be joyful that God knows us? The second motivation for our joy is the fact that God is the mighty one. I was speaking to this week at Luncheon Club, and we were reading the words, with God all things are possible, that comes in this story just a little bit before. God is mighty. God is almighty. Take a moment to get your mind round that. When circumstances and things, and you look at something and it's a mountain, and you think, how can this be? Mary was there and she said, pregnant? Can't be. Impossible. With God, all things are possible. What's your circumstance that you're thinking, I can't overcome this? Maybe it's a husband or wife who is a challenge. And relationships are tough. And you think, how can I overcome this situation? Maybe it's a boss at work. Maybe it's work itself. Maybe it's life itself that is just too hard sometimes. And you say, how can I? But God is almighty. He can do it. Nothing is too difficult with him. He is Lord over all things. We look at this passage and we think of the Exodus story and how God's mighty hand brought salvation, how he won the battles. It's all out in this. Knowing God knows us is one thing, but knowing God can sort it out is another. He not only knows your circumstances, but he has the power to resolve them. And throughout Scripture, we see, as we do in these verses, the retelling of what God has done, his faithfulness over time, his mighty acts. Biblical joy is founded on God's character and his action. He acts in the world. And on Sunday, the 3rd of January, we're going to have a time for each and every one of us to share testimony of what God has done in 2015. Don't want anything from 2014, 1963. What God did 100 years ago, 50 years ago. God works today. And if I asked that we did a testimony service and you were only allowed to give testimony to what God has done this week, there would be enough, if you were brave enough and thoughtful enough, to fill the whole service a time and time again. But we look back too historically often. This service on the 3rd of January is going to be fully devoted. There's no sermon. It's going to be fully devoted to telling the wonderful tales of what God has done this year in 2015. I was going to tell you that I love writing our Christmas letter, newsletter. I don't. It's a right chore. But there are joys to writing the Christmas letter, because we sit down and we say, what's happened this year? And we think, oh yeah, we had an engagement this year. And we had a great holiday this year. And this has happened this year. And we go through the things that have happened in the year. And we say, that's wonderful. And we go through what God has done. And it's great to tell each other and tell others what God has done. And that's what we're doing on the 3rd. God is mighty and he acts. Let's tell each other how he's acted in our lives, and then we'll be start to say, oh, I'm really pleased, I'm thrilled for you that that happened. And we start entering into this joy of the fact that we are in relationship with a mighty God. So please come on the 3rd and do that. So God is mindful, God is mighty, and God is merciful. Verse 50. Mary brings out the joy of mercy. Now, I don't know I struggle sometimes with understanding the concept of mercy. It's one of these difficult concepts. It speaks of God's grace towards us in spite of our opposition to him. It says that God gives us a favor. Mercy says God does not treat us as our sins deserve. It is God's mercy in the book of Romans is the motivation for us to worship. It's to offer our bodies, in view of his mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Or is it time for me to finish? Well, it sounds like it. And the whole of Mary's song is talking about the reversal of the normal order of things as a result of God's mercy. And God's mercy is summed up in the person of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, taking our punishment on himself. We deserve to be punished because of our sin. We have lived in out-and-out rebellion to God. And people say, in this day and age, they don't like to talk about sin. We don't like to talk about our rebellion. It sounds sad to say that we are all living in rebellion to God. But it's true. It's what the Bible tells us. But we can enter into that relationship of obedience to God through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. When we think of the cross, and we think of what we've done wrong, and even in this week, you think of the cross words, the wrong thoughts that you've had, the frustrations, all of those things that make up everyday life. And you think, actually, they can be wiped away. How brilliant is that? I hope we never tire of being able to wipe the slate clean and rejoicing in the fact that it is. God is merciful. I'm aware that Christmas isn't always a joyful time. And it can be hard and lonely. Christmas often, for me, it has been a time when I often end up doing funerals, sadly, at Christmas, because a lot of people seem to die over the Christmas period. And so often, Christmas is a time when people reflect on the loss of their loved ones. And so it can be a hard time. But in that tough times of life, whether Christmas is joyful for you or a tough time, when you do go through tough times, and we all do, let us remind ourselves that it is God's command that we rejoice. It is God's gift to us. Joy is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And we need to remind ourselves that God is mindful, mighty, and merciful. And if we remind ourselves of those things, then joy will start to rise within us. We should make time for rejoicing. And on the third, I hope we will have, I don't know who's leading worship. Oh, you're leading on the 3rd of January as well. Well, let us make it a time of real rejoicing when we come and we share testimony of all that God has done, and we remind ourselves it is a time to be joyful, and perhaps we'll make the place full of pink candles to remind ourselves that it is a time of great rejoicing. We're going to close with a song that's 10,000 Reasons, and it reminds us that we have 10,000 reasons and more to praise God and be joyful, because we are truly blessed, because we are in relationship with the mighty, mindful, merciful, living God.